Good afternoon. I think we're going to get started. Hello and welcome. I'm Paula Gehring. I'm from the Centre for Addiction and Mental Health in Toronto, Ontario. And we're going to be talking for the next little while about a very exciting project that we're involved in. And we are involved in it. We're about midway in the project. So we'll be telling you mostly about what we've done to get it designed and implemented. And we have a little bit of early findings for you that we'll also be reporting. And my co-presenters are all members of a national research team for this project. We're international and interdisciplinary. Three of us are Canadian, and Sam is from New York. And we represent a larger group of investigators that actually have designed and conducted this study, because we have other members of the national research team who are not here today, and we also have investigators in each of the five cities that are designing and conducting the study. So for the total project, we have over 40 investigators. So you're just getting a little taste of the talent and the brains that we've got dedicated to this project. I'm the research lead, and what I'm going to do to start off is just give you an overview of the project in terms of what we're trying to do. And then we're going to move so that you get to hear more about some of the details of the mixed method evaluation that we're doing, and of some of the methodological innovations, and of some of what we're learning about implementation. What we thought we would do is have each presenter present and then have just a few questions for them around clarification or things that are pertinent. But we want to save about 20 minutes at the end to have much more of an interaction with you around the total project, so that you can ask questions about anything that you wish. Normally, we probably wouldn't stand at the podium and would be more informal, but this is being recorded. And so we have to be here for the recording, so I'll ask everyone to stand here when they're presenting. We also, when you're asking questions, are being asked to repeat them for the recording so that they're available later. So let's begin with letting me tell you more about the project itself. And it is an attempt to do a project that will influence policy. And that's been the intent from the beginning. What happened was that a few years ago, in 2008, the federal government in Canada allocated $110 million for a study about homelessness and mental illness. And believe it or not, other than the topic and the cities, which had been predetermined, that was about all that was set at that time when the funding was given. There's a whole story about that, behind that, and Jeff Nelson, who's here, has been one of the authors of a paper on the conception of the project, which is quite fascinating in and of itself. So that's the story if you want to read about it. It'll soon be published, but it gives you a flavor that this is not your usual enterprise. It was predetermined that we wanted to do something that would provide evidence for others. We selected, after we were enrolled to design the study, that it would be about housing first. And as I said earlier, we already knew which cities we were operating in, and these are four urban areas and one kind of mid-sized city, Moncton, in New Brunswick, that you may not even have heard of, but it was the one that was a bit unusual in terms of having it added. And in fact, it's turned out to be fascinating, because actually thinking about homelessness in moderate-sized cities, and they've also been looking at rural areas, has been productive for us to have that kind of an experience. Out of that $110 million, about 85% of the budget has been devoted directly to funding the services and the rent supplements so that we could actually provide the intervention. The rest of it has gone to the infrastructure and to the research to actually study it. So that's how that's played out. There were some general principles that we had agreed on from the very beginning with our funder. The funding from this goes from Health Canada to the Mental Health Commission of Canada, which is an arm's length organization, somewhat like your president's commission, except that it had a 10-year mandate. And so we're about 4 years into that 10-year mandate for the commission. This project is the biggest thing the commission is doing, but not the only thing. And if you're interested in it, you can find them at mentalhealthcommission.ca on the web. And again, if you look at the contract that handed down them the funding, it was tied to these kinds of outcomes. They were very generic. They were about trying to develop new knowledge that would be applicable and that would have, you know, some information about regional differences and have some impact on the systems that we were studying. But there really wasn't much there that described the research project. So we got to do that. And from the beginning, we were using what in Canada we call integrated knowledge translation. This is a Canadian Institute of Health Research term. I don't think, again, it's very familiar south of the border, is it? And I don't know what the equivalent is. Maybe you can tell me. It's saying that if you really want research to have uptake, you have to change how you do the research. And that you need to be involved and with those stakeholders that you want to implement things from the beginning. So it's participatory research, but it's not your usual community-based participatory research in that it says any kind of model, any kind of design should include participatory models, participatory action. So what we're doing here is trying to do science, hard science, and combine it with participation so that we get to where we want to be, which is uptake. The design of the study, though, is a pragmatic, multi-site, randomized controlled trial of effectiveness. It's obviously a complex intervention. I'll talk a little bit more about that in terms of what Housing First is. And we're using both quantitative and qualitative methods. That does involve randomizing individuals into experimental control groups in all of the cities. Defining a core protocol that is in place which compares treatment as usual in the five cities to what happens in our intervention group. The target population is adults people who are either currently living on the streets or in the shelters or have recently been living on the streets or in the shelters and are now in a precarious situation. They do need to have a serious mental illness. Many or most also have co-occurring substance abuse disorder. We, from the beginning, set out to make sure that we had at least 20% of the sample who would be women so that we could do gender analysis. We actually have more than that in our final sample. And as you can see, it's a large sample. We have over 2,000 people. In the sample, more than 1,200 of those are actually receiving Housing First. Are you familiar with Housing First? Do I need to spin? Some aren't. Okay, so I shouldn't be presenting this. Sam should, because Sam Zimbaris, who's going to be presenting, is kind of the founder of this in the Pathways to Housing approach here in New York City. And he's been a huge resource for us as we've tried to define this in a Canadian context. And the elements are here. I think the name says it. What you're doing is trying to provide housing that is immediate and permanent. So it's not placement into a slot. It's trying to find a place for people where they'll stay and they feel is their home. It's adding to that the option for people to get supports, but that's an option. It's not required. So it's a harm reduction model. People are not required to stop using or to go into treatment. They're just asked, do you want a place to live? If they say yes, and everyone does, then we help find them a place to live, and then we offer them supports. So it's really radical. in terms of some of the differences in terms of how we usually deliver services. In our case, the supports are of two different kinds. The people who are what we have defined as moderate need are getting intensive case management. And again, this is probably a fairly familiar service delivery model. It's been studied a fair amount, particularly in the U.S. And it really is, the definition is here, it really is putting people in place to develop a relationship and then get people to the services they need. So it's a brokerage model, but it keeps the staff-to-client ratio low because it assumes you can't broker services unless you know someone really well, involved with them, and stay with them over time. So that hasn't been the typical service delivery model with Housing First. The typical one has been assertive community treatment, which we are also doing, and we're using that approach with the high need group. So assertive community treatment is a smaller case ratio, and it includes in the team the services that people are needing. So rather than sending people elsewhere to get what they need, the team's responsibility is to provide it. It is a best practice. It's fairly well known. There is some differences in the Housing First assertive community treatment in terms of the emphasis on recovery orientation, which is very, very strong and always has to be counterbalanced with the assertiveness to make sure that people have choice and their decisions are honored at the same time as you're not letting go in terms of offering that choice. So, what we have then in each city are at least four groups, except for Moncton, which is slightly different because of the size of the city, where Housing First is being provided to high need and moderate need, and then there are two comparison groups for treatment as usual. We originally planned 100 in each group so that we would have 75 in after 2 years to do the analysis. Actually, our follow-up rates are such that we will have more than 75, it looks like, at this point. Recruitments from several places. We also have worked hard to let the local investigators design a study that fits their context. So it's been a balance of a common protocol across five cities plus local variation. So the research questions are, some of them are, as you would expect from a randomized controlled trial. They're about effectiveness and cost effectiveness of people in the intervention compared to those in treatment as usual. But we also have some questions that are purely qualitative in that we also want to and are tracking what the experience is for those people in the treatment as usual and in the intervention. At baseline and again 18 months later. And then finally we're using, for some questions, both quantitative and qualitative together to try to understand more the implementation issues and the critical ingredients of the intervention. So it's a complex intervention, it's a complex study in terms of all the questions that we're trying to answer. This is just an example for you of what the randomization looks like in Montreal. So you can see that what we're doing is screening people and deciding whether they're eligible. We do a baseline assessment to figure out whether they belong in the high need or the moderate need group. And then once that's determined, they're randomized into either the intervention or treatment as usual. In Montreal, the moderate need group, there are two local interventions for that group rather than just one. And there are slight variations in each city and how this diagram looks. Data collection is at baseline and then every 6 months for the most part. Although I'll show you that there are some measures at every 3 months. And as I've said, we're doing qualitative research not only to get the individual stories, but also to understand better the implementation issues. And you'll get to hear more about that as my other investigators present. The outcomes here are the ones you would expect in terms of what we're hoping to see change. obviously we want to see if people can actually stay housed over time once they've been placed and offered support. We're also very interested in health status and are looking closely at physical health status, not just mental health status. Functioning quality of life, we've also are keen over the long run to see if we can get people back into employment situations and are obviously interested in the health services costs over time. So the common protocol, which if you're very interested in methods, we've got it posted, a toolkit that Carol Adair has been very involved in putting together that has all the details of the measures and their background and what we're doing. But this just gives you a sense that there's some that are measures that we're doing every 3 months, some every 6 months, and some, at 24. So, we've finished recruitment. We did it in June, and we were, as you can see, we're slightly over what we had planned to do. And the participants are about 1 in 10 under 25 and 1 in 10 over 55. So the rest are in that middle range. Most of the people are from Streets and Shelters. We only have about 18% that fit into that precariously housed group. 32%, not 20%, of them are women, so we will definitely be able to look at the gender differences in the samples in the cities. Because of the way we designed this study so that each city could also test an intervention that was of particular interest in their city, we also are going to obtain a lot of information about ethnocultural and First Nations populations. In Toronto, there's a third arm that is specifically designed to treat people who are from ethno-racial minority groups. And in Winnipeg, there's a real focus on Aboriginally informed care in all of the programs, and about 70% of the participants in all the programs are Aboriginal. So that's been a real opportunity to do things differently, and we're learning a lot about working with that group. There are some other site differences that in the sample that just because of the differences in context. I don't know if you're familiar with Vancouver, but it has a downtown east side that is famous for its combination of substance abuse, and a lot of our participants are from there. They do have a fair amount of illness and a lot of physical and medical conditions. So this emphasis on seeing whether we can get them more engaged in primary care is going to be really important. Unfortunately, we've had a lot of deaths in our samples already in the first 2 years, and the disproportionate number of those are actually because of chronic illness that people are facing. Lots of involvement with criminal justice. Our current government in Canada is very interested in corrections and is ramping up rather than ramping down their emphasis on arrests and putting people in prison. So we're very eager to get some findings, which we're hoping will show that when you give people stabilized housing, then perhaps they won't need to be involved as much as they have been in the past. So that's kind of the early findings with regard to quantitative. We've also been analyzing a little bit of the baseline interviews from the qualitative, and they're very rich with information about what it's like. You have to understand that for some of these individuals, it's been years and years and years since they have had a place. And for some, they've never had a place of their own. So to put them into a furnished apartment has been quite extraordinary in terms of trying to track their reactions to this new reality that they're in. And they do feel, most of them feel very hopeful about that this is now an opportunity to get things back on track and to make the changes. But there are some who are so demoralized and so beaten down that even the placement into housing is associated still with lots of sense of despair and not quite sure. So it's a mix, but for the most part, people are hopeful, see it as being a chance to be independent, to be safe, to belong to the community. That's a bit counteracted by the reality of being somewhat more isolated and alone. So that's also going to be something that we're tracking and we're trying to respond to. Because there is a connection and a community that comes with being homeless that we are actually removing people from or taking people away from. There's huge amount of gratitude and appreciation for the Housing First approach and the difference it makes in their lives. Some people saying, but why did it take so long, you know, for this kind of thing to happen, which is interesting. And others who are talking about it as a turning point in their lives. So I mentioned earlier that we were trying to do this controlled trial in a participatory fashion, which may seem kind of counterintuitive, but it has been possible. And we have been, from the beginning, seeking a consultation about the nature of the design and what we're doing, involving people in the decisions in various ways. And I'll just show you in terms of the structure and the governance. It's quite complicated because there's an organization in each city, plus they are overreaching organization, and then we're connecting the providers in the cities through communities of practice. We've got stakeholder maps in each city. This is Winnipeg, and imagine that times five, and then there's another one for the national level, and you get a sense of how much involvement that we have, which we think will translate into much higher likelihood that actually the knowledge we're creating is going to be used. It's not been easy. There's been lots of learning as we go along. It has been useful to be doing this not for the federal government, but for the Mental Health Commission. It's given us more flexibility in what we can do and a different kind of perception in the community. And I really like this quote from Bell, that it really is a matter of social construction and managing conflict that actually gets you to where you want to go in projects of this size. Again, lots of people involved, lots of people to acknowledge, and you're going to hear more in just a second about the details. If you want to learn more about that project, you can actually find us on the Mental Health Commission website. So I think I've kind of gone over my time, and what I'm going to do is, if you don't mind, is not stop for questions, but just introduce the speakers. We'll move along, and then we'll come back for questions in a few minutes. The next speaker is Jeff Nelson, and Jeff has been one of the co-leads of the qualitative component of our study. And Jeff is in the Department of Psychology at Wilfrid Laurier University in Waterloo, Ontario, and is a prince of an investigator, so it's really nice to have him on board. Jeff.